Last week's national news on drug overdose deaths confirmed a lot of fears and so was not a surprise all at the same time. The bottom line, 108,000 Americans died from drug overdoses in 2021. That's a new record high. Most of those, 80,000 or so, were deaths from opioid overdose. The numbers come from the Statistics Center at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The responses come from all over the country. Oregon announced the release of a fentanyl and opioid response toolkit for schools, a joint project of the Oregon Health Authority and the Oregon Department of Education. We have representatives of each agency with us. Eli Sanders is school health specialist at the Oregon Department of Education. Welcome, Eli.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Ashley Thurstrup is with us as well from the Oregon Health Authority, the Interim Director of Health and Education. Welcome, Ashley.
Hi, great to be here.
So, Eli, the toolkit announcement came right on top of the national announcement of last year's overdose death toll. I have to believe this was already well in the works.
That is correct. We've been working on this and with our partners at the Oregon Health Authority to hopefully raise awareness of the opioid overdose crisis that our communities are experiencing currently.
Ashley, this seems like this the latest in a series. I mean, there have been several messages in the past, I would think, to schools about opioids and overdoses, haven't there?
Yeah, actually, we have quite a few community partners from counties and tribal programs that work directly with schools, as well as OHA staff supporting schools directly with their alcohol and drug prevention training and meeting the standards. So, yeah, this is a lot part of a comprehensive approach and just the next step for us to really address this crisis.
Well, toolkit implies something physical. It is not that. It is why don't you describe what it is, Ashley?
Yeah, so in the toolkit, it's really a set of guidance, recommendations, sample policies and protocols for schools, for anybody working within a school, administrator, educator, health teacher, nurse, to really understand what is happening with this opioid and fentanyl overdose crisis in Oregon and nationally. So we provide an overview of opioids, information about how to recognize symptoms of an opioid overdose, information on how naloxone and Narcan works. This is a life-saving medication that can restore breathing within minutes of an opioid overdose. And so that's the main focus of our toolkit, is really describing how that works and the protocol around it and how schools can really develop their own policies and protocols, including where to store Narcan so that it's really available and accessible to anybody who would need it in the middle of a crisis. And then there's also resources for families and youth, community-based providers providing treatment and recovery, key messages for young people to share with their friends on social media, infographics, just really describing, the rise of these fake pills and what to watch out for, what to do in this kind of situation, how to support awareness and education for other young people who might be experimenting with pills. Really the message is that, one pill can kill, and any medication or pill that comes to you that's not prescribed from your own doctor is a risk, is dangerous, and really not to take it. And so there's some key messages there for families, for young people, and for educators.
Eli, how much shaping was required of the message? I mean, I imagine school, well, heck, I know I got information in school myself back in the late 60s, early 70s about drugs. So this is not something that students haven't heard about in some form before, at least from generalized warnings about drugs.
You're absolutely correct. Drugs have been around, and as has prevention education and trying to equip our students with the tools and knowledge they need to make safe and healthy choices. The messaging, it follows some of those similar lines. We want to make sure that youth are have the ability to make healthy choices for themselves. One of the key pieces of this work is also parents and family members as partners in helping keep their children healthy and safety. And so messaging not only in this cool toolkit provides examples for school districts in teaching youth, but also for youth themselves, as well as how a parent or family member can have these important conversations with their children. Includes a variety of information on youth substance use, specific pictures, and messaging around what the illicit pills look like. as well as helpful resources and phone numbers and websites that both students and their family members can access for additional information.
How much of an issue is there with overdoses in school-age populations in Oregon at the moment? Do we know?
We know. Well, first off, I'd say one death is too many,
sure.
And naloxone is an opportunity to save a life. And so any time we have access to life-saving medication is important. There's been several high-profile student deaths in and around our school buildings. We also know that the school day doesn't stop right at 3 o'clock when the bell rings. There's oftentimes extracurricular activities, sports games, dances, evening events where naloxone can really save a life if it's available.
We're talking about the Fentanyl and Opioid Response Toolkit for Schools developed by the Oregon Department of Education and the Oregon Health Authority. We have Eli Sanders from ODE and Ashley Thurstrup from OHA with us, and you're more than welcome to join the conversation. You might have plenty of questions or concerns about what's going on with opioids in the region. Join us on the exchange by phone. It's 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Of course, the name of the kit leads with fentanyl, Ashley. That is the primary concern at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. Fentanyl deaths are on the rise nationally and here in Oregon. This is, fentanyl is a drug that was intended to help people like cancer patients manage severe pain, but it's 50 to 100 times more potent than morphine. So most overdose deaths, resulting from fentanyl are from people using it from the black market or from pills that have been created, fake pills, counterfeit pills, often to look like prescription painkillers, like oxycodone or anti-anxiety medications like Xanax. It's really impossible to tell the difference. And so that is a key piece of the toolkit, as well as just providing some of those pictures for young people, families, and educators to really identify and see that these pills look exactly like pills they may have seen before from a prescription.
So to be clear, people generally do not seek out fentanyl and its greater potency. It is just there in things that they think are other things.
Yeah, exactly. It's unfortunately very easy to get here in Oregon and nationally. It's really starting to flood the market, the black market. And knowing that young people are in a phase in their lives when they are experimenting. Not every young person, of course. They do become a vulnerable population and are targeted on social media.
That's a really important step, I would think, to try to tell people that don't take a pill if you don't know what it is, Eli. But how hard is that to get across to a teenager, for example, who tend to think they're a bit indestructible anyway, and it's like, oh, I've done this before. I could be okay with this.
You're absolutely right. What we also know is students, when they're given correct information and have a chance to practice skills around peer pressure, around making healthy decisions, that they end up making healthy decisions. And what we know also is that peers peer pressure works in both ways. Students learn a lot from their fellow students, and if we can get in between and provide help. Healthy and accurate information about this epidemic, we really believe that we can make an impact.
Ashley, particularly with the pills, you're basically telling people to go chain of custody here, right? If you didn't see it come from the pharmacist and don't know where it came from, then don't take it.
Yeah, that's right. It's a really important message, I think, not just for young people, but for adults as well. What's out there on the market or, available on the street is really dangerous. And fentanyl doesn't just come in a counterfeit pill form. It's also in powders as well, in meth and in heroin. So that's something else for everyone to know.
Is it put in there just as a space filler or something? I mean, do we even know why people put fentanyl in other things?
It's a lot cheaper. I think that is a big reason what's fueling this. And much more potent, easy to get.
All right. So item one in the toolkit, as you mentioned, is to recognize the signs and symptoms of someone who's overdosed. What do those look like, Ashley?
Yeah. So that's a really important piece of the toolkit, just to recognize when an overdose might be happening and be able to interrupt it with the life-saving naloxone or Narcan as quickly as possible. And so what the signs of an overdose that we include are pinpoint pupils. That's one area where, you know, if somebody's eyes are open and they're beginning to overdose, it might be very, very tiny pupils. Also, another sign is slow or shallow breathing or no breathing at all. It can be really difficult to wake up somebody who's overdosing. Sometimes you'll see first responders go and rub the sternum really hard to see if they can wake someone up, and it's often impossible if someone's in an overdose. You might hear gurgling or snoring as well. Extreme drowsiness if that overdose is just starting or coming on. And then cold, clammy skin is another sign, as well as gray or blue skin as the oxygen starts to cut off in the body. And so those are the signs that we direct, you know, folks to look for and then to intervene as quickly as possible, which is why it's so important to have the Narcan available, not behind a locked cabinet, but somewhere where people can access.
Okay, that's a great point, though, about not lock it away. I mean, can Narcan or naloxone by themselves do anything to people? Is there any kind of effect to be had that anybody would desire?
Yeah, Narcan is extremely safe. And so that's something else that we really want folks to understand, that you know, there are laws protecting people from liability, from school employees, as well as, you know, just someone on the street who might interrupt an opioid overdose. It's a very safe medication. It can't harm you. And if somebody is not overdosing and they're given it by mistake, that it is also not harmful. So it's really important to understand.
Okay, so you can't hurt somebody by giving them Narcan or naloxone. And is there any difference between the two?
Yeah, good question. So naloxone is the kind of the umbrella term for this life-saving medication, and it can come in an injection form or a nasal spray, which is much easier to use, and that's the Narcan variety.
All right, so both administer the same way?
So then you can administer it either through an injection.
Oh, injection, okay.
Or through the nasal spray, which is the name brand Narcan.
Okay, but I want to emphasize the point again you made here. If you think someone OD'd, you can't hurt them by giving them naloxone if they're not on opioids.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right.
And we definitely we included all of the laws so that our school employees can have a chance to review those and see that they can train their staff, they can have this available, and there are laws protecting them and allowing them to administer this in the event of an emergency.
We're talking about opioid overdoses and an Oregon response through the Departments of Education and the Oregon Health Authority. The Fentanyl and Opioid Response Toolkit for Schools is out there, being pushed out as of last week. Eli Sanders is a school health specialist with the Oregon Department of Education. Ashley Thurstrup is the interim director of health and education at the Oregon Health Authority. And you may have questions about the opioid toolkit or what is going on with opioids generally. This is the place to ask at 800-838-3760 by phone, 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Talk about the distribution then, Eli. You're putting this in the hands of school districts, and what do you want them to do from here?
That's a great question. You know, school districts have a unique responsibility in keeping our students safe and healthy while they're at school, and there's somewhat unique or differences between naloxone in the community and naloxone in a school building. School districts, when they're looking at adopting a policy or the availability program of naloxone, are required to have a specific policy around how they administer naloxone to students in an emergency situation, and that includes safe storage and where and how that medication is going to be accessible in an emergency. They need to designate those staff members who will be trained to provide that medication to students, and in being trained, they are trained in recognizing the symptoms of an overdose, how to administer the medication, as well as any time the medication is administered, regardless of the outcome, that emergency medical services are engaged and 911 is called. this is not the first time emergency medication has been available in schools. We also have epinephrine in some of our districts that treat allergy reactions. And in some similarities, districts have policies and practices already in place to make sure that these medications can be administered safely.
It sounds like the recommendation from the Oregon Department of Education is to make sure that even though there's no particular danger that can come from Narcan or Naloxone, that you still would prefer this to be administered and managed by responsible staff and adult parties.
That is correct, and that comes from the actual legislation that allows this and affords liability protection to our school staff. There's some uniqueness to our school environments and a responsibility that districts do this in an organized way. But echoing what Ashley has said, the goal is really to make it available as much as possible and accessible during those times. When an overdose may be more likely to take place. I mentioned, after school activities, evening activities, but also asking districts to really think about where on their campuses and what staff members may be around at a time when an overdose may occur. The other important piece is it's not just students that we're making this accessible for. School districts can administer to anybody who they reasonably believe is experiencing an overdose. And so that can be a volunteer, that can be a community member that happens to be on their campus or near or on their campus, and so forth. So it really is getting it into the schools, getting staff familiar with the medication and what an overdose looks like and making sure it's available during that emergency.
Do you know, Eli, whether all Oregon school districts, at least in one school, have doses on hand?
Yes, we're seeing several districts. We know of several districts who have already implemented Naloxone even prior to this toolkit coming out. And we've had a significant increase in questions and inquiries from school districts as they're looking at reviewing this toolkit and looking within their own community and how to implement. And I would say both rural and urban school districts are interested. What we know is that this unfortunately affects or can affect every school district and every community in our state.
Absolutely. Ashley, any idea how many doses of Narcan or Naloxone are around the state of Oregon and available to the public for quick use?
Yeah, so the last time I talked to our experts around this, they said that we have plenty of Narcan available in Oregon. And if your listeners are interested in learning more, encourage them to go to the OHA Naloxone Rescue for Opioid Overdose page. You can OHA Naloxone Rescue for Opioid Overdose, or they can also visit reverseoverdose.org and find some resources in order to access Naloxone.
Okay, I'll make sure I provide links on our website to those pages. I mean, as you mentioned earlier, Ashley, this toolkit gets into messages for delivery on social media and elsewhere, and this really is an all-hands-on-deck kind of moment, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And another key kind of takeaway, I think, is for parents to recognize their role. As Eli said earlier, our children are listening, and parents can really really talk to their kids about this risk. And it's really important to do so. They can be vigilant, for changes in their child's behavior and kind of look for some of those early signs and then connect with resources early in order to get help if they think that their children are having a challenge or starting to experiment with drugs.
Eli, is there any particular trick to pitching the message? I mean, we've have several generations now that have been dealing with messages about drugs to avoid, and I just wonder how you pierce through not just the history, but the plethora of messages that people get about so many different things in society now.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And as it relates to our schools, we have excellent and well-trained, experienced health educators and others in our school settings, our school counselors, our school social workers, and school nurses who are familiar with communicating with our children. And for parents, there's resources in this document and on the website that Ashley mentioned that can really help facilitate and prompt conversations with your youth. I'm a parent of a teenager and several other children, and I find myself, even as an educator, sometimes stumbling over my words. and talking to my own children. And the important piece is being available for your youth, answering questions as accurately as possible. And when you don't know the answer, exploring medically accurate resources with your children, having dialogue with them, being aware of what they're what they're doing, and if they are experimenting, making sure that they're doing so in healthy ways. And one thing that we haven't really addressed is that parents themselves can access naloxone and have it on site. And so if you fear, unfortunately, that your children is using or is around an environment where opiates may be present, it may be worthwhile to have a conversation with your physician or a pharmacist where you can pick up your own prescription of naloxone and have it available for use within your family unit and or within your own community.
That one particular message, Ashley, one pill can kill, is that a tough message to get across?
I think, again, kids are listening. They listen to each other, and they're on social media, and they're hopefully hearing this message. There's some campaigns that are locally being disseminated across social media, and there's resources again in this toolkit. So I think that one pill can kill message hopefully does get through, and that they're able to influence that with each other as well.
The fentanyl and opioid response toolkit for schools is being pushed out there by the Department of Education and the Oregon Health Authority. Eli Sanders is with the Oregon Department of Education. Ashley Thurstrup with the Oregon Health Authority. Thank you both for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange to lay out the elements in the toolkit.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.